Growing your business doesn't have to be difficult. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindsets. Welcome to Foot Traffic, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your local business. I'm your host, Stacey Tushel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 15 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Together, you and I are going to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. Let's transform your business starting right now. Hey there, welcome back to another episode of Foot Traffic. Today, I get to interview Andrea from Better Screen Time. And this is a bonus episode because I will tell you, as a working mom, I definitely try to separate work from family time. You hear me all the time say, you know, the kids go to daycare or school during the day. That's when I'm working. But then in the mornings and when they're home, I really focus on them. Now, in a perfect world, yes, that is our everyday. But you know as well as I know that sometimes there can be that quick email I need to jump in and do, or, you know, something happens at a rental property and a quick jump on the phone and do something, right? So there are going to be times when it's unexpected. There are going to be times when maybe they're home with me during the summer on a certain day, but I want to try to squeeze in an hour worth of work while they're home. And I want to do it in a way that I feel good about it, right? I don't want to just shove an iPad in front of them for hours and hours and hours while I get some work done. And then you know what happens? Mom guilt when I go back to them and I feel super guilty that I've just been avoiding them and shoving electronics in their face, right? And I have had that mom guilt a lot when I'm wondering, well, what could I be doing or how could I be doing better? And this last year, I've been sharing so many parenting like experts and everything with you guys and a lot of books that I've been reading. And I came across Andrea on Instagram and I love, love, love what her message is and why she's doing this. And I wanted to interview her for a few reasons. One, I want to know, like, what are some tips that I could be doing and how can I be better at this and feel good about it, right? While I'm working and trying to balance mom life all at the same time. And second, I wanted to kind of hear a little bit behind the scenes of how she started and what that looks like. Because when I share stories like that with you guys, I know it inspires you to go, okay, maybe I could be doing this, or maybe I could be turning my expertise over here into an online business. Or, you know, I have a lot of people that come to me, even if they have a traditional brick and mortar, and 9 times out of 10, even the traditional brick and mortars are saying, how do I do this online thing? This looks pretty cool, right? So I always want to make sure that I'm giving you guys the best of both worlds and sharing just the behind the scenes. Now, a lot of you are working moms. A lot of you have kids. And I know firsthand the last 6 years how difficult it can be to grow a business and raise a family at the same time. And I'm hoping today's episode helps you feel more confident in the decisions you're making and what is a good fit for you and your family. There is no judgment here. I want you to understand that when I'm sharing what I'm doing or what I'm learning, I am never expecting you to do it. I'm expecting you to find the best fit for you and your family. And I say that time and time again because I really want to make sure you're not watching me and thinking, okay, I need to do what Stacey's doing. That's not it, because my way isn't the perfect way. It's just the perfect way for my family, or I should say, like, the best right now phase that we're in, right? And that's the same thing for you. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode as much as I enjoyed interviewing Andrea. You're going to want to check her out on Instagram and all of that good stuff. We're going to share more about her. So stay tuned. We've got another great episode ahead. Andrea, welcome to Foot Traffic. I'm so excited you're here.
I'm so happy to be here, Stacey.
This is going to be super fun. So I said to Andrea before we began, I'm like, this is just two moms hanging out, just picking each other's brain, asking questions, because as one mom to another, I need some suggestions every now and then too. So I'm really excited you're here. I found you on Instagram, and then of course it's a small world and we have mutual friends in common, which is just... Uh-huh. How the internet works.
Yes.
So I'm really excited that I stumbled upon you. And I love, first, what caught my attention, I'll say this, is your handle is Better Screen Time, right? Better Screen Time?
Better Screen Time.
Okay. Right there, I knew exactly what you stood for and
yes.
what you were trying to do. And I think that's an important thing because I could have found you, but then kept scrolling. But your name caught my attention.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, for sure. So, Andrea, tell us a little bit about you. What does your business journey look like? Just explain your business a little bit too. And just, I always love to hear the journey that has gotten you here.
Yes. So I've been a stay-at-home mom. So I have 5 kids, okay. And they range from 14 down to my youngest just turned 5.
Okay.
So my background is in teaching. I got a degree in secondary education. I've taught junior high and college. So that's where my real passion lies. I love teaching, but I knew that I wanted to stay home with my kids. And that was just a decision that my husband and I had made before we even got married.
Okay.
But within me has always been this burning desire. There's an entrepreneur within me.
Yeah.
And it's in my DNA because my mom, my dad, my brother, and my sister have all either owned or currently own a business.
Oh, wow.
So every single person in my family is an entrepreneur at heart. And my husband is very much not an entrepreneur. He is an engineer. So I helped get him through grad school. He did a PhD at Purdue in mechanical engineering. Brilliant guy. And I stayed home with the kids. And all that time, I was pitching him ideas of what is going to be my contribution to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that for some people, they just think, why do you need to have a contribution to the world? But for some of us, you know, I think for anyone listening that runs a business, you're that kind of person, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you want to serve the world and, yeah, serve people. And so I had a lot of conversations with my husband over the years. And honestly, I think he was probably getting a little burned out because that's not his favorite thing to talk about. But he was patient. And I've had all kinds of ideas. And finally, we were doing a road trip, actually, we lived in Illinois at the time. We were driving to Idaho, where all our family is.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, the kids were all occupied. We were in the front seat talking. And he said, why don't you start a business to help parents with screen time? Because he's like, it's a problem we have. We don't know where to go. And I was like, oh, yeah, right. I said, who would do that? That was what I told him.
That's so
like,
funny.
Who would take that on?
That's
that?
Crazy. It was his idea when that's just not his entrepreneurial spirit. That's exciting.
Yeah. But I think being an engineer,
yeah,
he looks for problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of what happened. He's like, here's a problem. Can you fix it?
Mm.
And so my initial reaction was no, just because I thought, I don't know that first of all, I can do that,
mm-hmm.
because that's what we all think, right? I'm not sure mm-hmm. I'm qualified. And that just sounds really hard. So fast forward a couple of years later, and we found ourselves in an unexpected situation. My husband's company did a massive layoff, and he was part of that. And so we did a cross-country move from Illinois to Oregon, and it was the middle of winter. We moved here on New Year's Eve a couple of years ago, and our oldest was in middle school, and we had this abandoned smartphone, and we gave it to her because I wanted to be able to get a hold of her. I didn't know mm-hmm. anyone in this town, and I wanted her to be able to call me, and if she got off on the wrong bus stop or whatever it was just didn't completely think it through. And she's ultra responsible. So I thought, okay. And so we stepped into that. And then I gradually learned that it was too much too soon.
Mm.
And I, at the same time, because I think our whole family was going through this process of change, we moved to kind of a resort town. So housing is very expensive here. And so we were in temporary housing. We were in a rental. And at that time, I took Pat Flynn's course, Smart from Scratch.
Okay.
And so he has this process of going through this 7-7-7 exercise he talks about. So you're talking about, you know, your problems, your passions, and you're identifying how, you know, what is my business idea that I can use to share with the world?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it came down to. It came down to, I'm not finding the answers that I need to help my family walk through this. And this is a problem that so many parents have. And so I did. I decided that's it. And that's how Better Screen Time was born.
I love it. And I actually saw Pat Flynn shared you out the other day. And I was like, oh my goodness, yes. I'm interviewing her.
Yes.
I love Pat. Yeah, no. Okay, love that story. So many things there. And you're right. One of the first things we think of is, like, who am I to be doing this? And why would I, like, why would people listen to me? And that's such a big problem because who are any of us to be doing any of this stuff, right? And yeah. I think that we just are looking for a person that's been there that can help us, or that's even going through it. Like, if you're spending all this time researching and you can just fill me in with the good stuff and I don't have to read 17 different books, yeah. that's amazing, right? Totally. So I think you're serving a bigger need that way. Now, the reason I had thought about bringing you on, because obviously this is a business podcast and I really wanted to talk about the screen time stuff, is because I think I know from my experience of having this mom guilt and having this, okay, I really have to get some work done, so I'm just going to stick them in front of the TV, or I'm going to give them an iPad and I'm going to work for 30 minutes and then I'm going to come back. Well, that 30 minutes turns into 2 hours and you're going, okay, now I feel really bad, right? Because yeah. we see the effects of what screen time is doing for these kids. And I keep hearing these scary statistics of depression and suicide and all of these things that they're saying that is like linked to how our kids are growing up. And now I start to go, I have a bigger responsibility than just growing this business. Like, I really need to be like, I'm growing this family and I'm raising children. And this is my biggest hurdle right now. So I heard you bring up like free or what is it called? Like summer. So you basically don't have screens, screen-free summer. Is that what it is?
Just, we talk about screen-free ideas. So okay. we do use screens in the summer.
Oh, you do? Okay.
We come up with a plan and yeah.
Yeah, like there's boundaries and it's not like all or nothing. So I love right. that. So what I want to kind of talk about and pick your brain for all the moms listening going, okay. yes, this is me. I am that person that's letting them sit on them all day long. And there is no judgment here because I've been that person. And sometimes I'm like, I don't know what else to do. And I really have to get this done. So I would love to brainstorm with you on some ideas of what the kids can be doing when mom is trying to work and how we can keep them occupied without feeling just kind of upset with ourselves or disappointed with ourselves when we're trying to get some work done.
Yeah, totally. So I want to back up just a little bit. I think one of the important places to start is to start with why. I'm a huge fan of Simon Sinek. So okay. the whole idea of starting with why, I think that we have to know why this matters so much. Okay. And this is, I realized that this is one of my strengths, having been a mother for 14 years now, is that I have watched this evolution of the technology change. And so I've been the parent when the only concern at the time was a TV.
Yeah.
And even at that time, it's funny, but we decided to use our TV as an appliance. And so we kept it in the closet and we just pulled it out. Now my husband's not into sports, so
okay. yeah,
I
yeah.
realized that not everybody could do this, but we decided to just pull it out for the Olympics or for family movie night. And that was what we did. And then it was super simple. We would like get DVDs from the library. Mm. I'd put them on the computer, on the desktop. Super simple. Well, you fast forward years later, and now we are carrying our screens in our pockets. I mean, yeah. just technology has changed so rapidly. And then I don't have a toddler anymore. I have a teenager, right? And so I have this span of kids, but I can see what has changed. And so we also joined the bandwagon of getting an iPad because I wanted my older kids to learn how to use it. But then what happens when you have this age span of kids, then the younger kids are like, oh, well, I want to do that too. And I noticed, so I started working from home. I worked from home for 3 different people during this whole process. Even before my husband had lost his job, mm-hmm. I was writing podcast notes for a podcasting company. I was working for a health business as a health coach, and then also working for April Perry at Power of Moms as her assistant. So I had all these kind of jobs I was juggling, and this was my first entry into being mm-hmm. a work-at-home mom. And I realized, first of all, how different that is. And then we also had the iPad on top of that. So I did. I started giving my daughter the iPad occasionally because I needed to type podcast notes. I needed mm-hmm. I had a deadline, right? And I needed to get something done. And I noticed how hard it was for her to get off of this iPad. And I had never had an iPad with my older kids. So I was just like, what is this? So it was kind of a combination of being in that rough spot where I was realizing this isn't good. I'm giving this to her too much. And then also launching into this business idea, I started doing my homework, mm-hmm. started doing research. And actually, just a couple of months ago, I was able to hear Dr. Dimitri Christakis speak. And he is a pediatrician at the Seattle Children's Hospital. He's also a professor at the School of Medicine at the University of Washington. He's done a lot of research when it comes to screen time and brain, especially on our younger kids. And he did a great interview with 60 Minutes, and he talked a lot about how toddlers need laps and not apps. And he has seen, like in his pediatric office, and I hear this from a lot of pediatricians, that when a child is sad or hurt, that it's very common for parents to hand over the phone. And so what's happening is our children are learning to self-soothe with a device. And he's just seeing that then this is carrying over into other situations, that often we're handing this over to, you know, keep them occupied or for them to self-soothe. And so what's happening is that our kids aren't learning to be resilient, and also they don't really know what to do with boredom. And yes. So I think that was just a really good learning opportunity for me. And also, I also just learned that not all screen time is equal. So I think that we have been taught, or we're feeling like in this generation, that we're doing our kids a favor by handing over interactive screens. Well, you know, and life changed when Steve Jobs introduced the iPad, but he didn't allow his kids to play on the iPad.
That's so funny, though. When you think about what he's created.
That wasn't his intention.
Right, right.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm, so interesting.
Yeah, and but inventors know what they've made, right? Mm-hmm. But they also, in their mind, know what they've intended this invention for. Mm-hmm. But we've all taken this and ran off with it as a society. Now there's all these apps that are for even three-year-olds. And the interesting thing that, you know, you can research this more if you want more details, but Dr. Victoria Dunkley, she wrote a great book about, you know, screen time. And she just talks a lot about the difference between the interactive screens and then just like a regular screen. And what they found is just that there's a lot more going on inside the brain, that interactive screens are more addicting, and that they overstimulate the nervous system. And so we wonder why can't I get my four-year-old off the iPad? Well, it's because their nervous system is overstimulated, and it's kind of too much.
Yeah.
It's too much for them to handle. And we thought we were doing them a favor because we got this really great educational app.
Oh, right. You're like, oh, they're doing math. This is perfect.
Yeah,
this
they're
is not awesome. Just watching YouTube. And then it turns out it's actually worse.
Right. And so what they're finding is that, you know, if we do need to put our younger kids in front of a screen, then they're recommending like slow media. So something like Daniel Tiger or Sesame Street. And and so that's something I think is really helpful just to understand.
Okay.
Because I think if we don't understand the why, and we're just feeling like we're being forced, or people are just scaring us into not using screens, then you know, we're not doing it for the right reason, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's really important to understand.
Yeah, no, I love that. And one of the things that was starting to scare me was my littlest one, Tegan, really likes the shows that are these kids or the parents, or you know what I mean, like on YouTube. And I started to realize she was learning, it basically was a stranger teaching my child things, and I had no idea who the stranger was and if our values are in alignment, right? So maybe I don't say certain things in the house, but they don't think it's a bad word, so they say it. Now she's picking these things up. So I started to go, it's almost like meeting friends in the neighborhood. I need to know who she's watching and what this is. And if I agree with this family, great. But if not, they're off limits. And I don't think people are even thinking of that, because we're so busy, we're not even watching what they're we're not even looking at what they're watching. And that was one of the problems for me, that I was going, oh, I don't like what I'm doing here. This is not working for us.
Yes, exactly. And luckily, Apple has come out with a screen time feature, which makes it so much easier to limit what's even available on a device. Google has Google Family Link, which has similar features. And that has just been within the past year. So that is a huge advantage to parents. So if you know that you are going to have younger kids on an iPad, and maybe you are just going to let them watch Daniel Tiger, you can completely eliminate YouTube so that the app's not even on there. And then you can also make it so the app store is not available, so they can't even download anything.
Yeah. One of the things that we bought for them were, I think it's like the Amazon, like the Kindle, maybe like a Fire or something. So it was a really, one of the like Black Friday specials. It was actually really inexpensive. And what's nice is on here, we were able to say, okay, only allow them to watch this many minutes of video. Once they max out, the video function doesn't even work anymore and they could only play certain things.
That's perfect.
Yes.
Yeah. So be mindful of that.
One thing I want to just backtrack with is you had said you started, when you realized you were going to do this, you really started to dive into the research. Because I want people to hear, before you had said you were struggling with it and you really didn't know if you could even help people. But you did the due diligence of like that mastery skill. So many people come to me and they're like, oh, I want to teach people this. And I'm thinking, okay, great, but you don't have experience in that yet. You need to go down the mastery route and you need to be, I mean, I think anybody can, you can find what you love to do and do it, but you have to be committed to that excellence, that learning. You have to be doing the research. And I know you do. Every time I'm showing a book or you're showing a book, we both are like, oh, we're reading the same one. Like, I know you are doing that work. And I think it's really important that you're finding experts who have done the work, who are really committed to learning this. And that's super important. And I appreciate you doing all of this research for us because you're constantly learning about this topic. So I appreciate that as somebody who consumes your content online.
Yeah, I'm pretty picky about who I am looking to. I don't easily trust people. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad, but I am very cautious about who I follow, who I'm looking to lead my family. Because our families are our top priority. And so, anyone I share, I've either heard them or I've interacted with them. I felt like I was on that track as far as I was very intentional about screens in the beginning. Like my kids are all they're all avid readers because of that decision to, limit the TV in the beginning. But then life changed. And so I had to reevaluate. And
We're going to give a few ideas of what they can be doing by themselves without jumping on screen. So that's going to come up. But I want to kind of ask you, as you were doing this research and looking into all of these tips and things for the kids, what kind of stuff did you find out that you were going, ooh, I might be the problem here. I might be doing some things I shouldn't be doing. Did any of that pop up for you?
Yes. And I find that as your kids get older, it pops up even more because you can almost like, it's almost like you get away with stuff when your kids are little.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not that you should,
but
they, they go to bed early.
Mm-hmm. They miss a lot of that stuff. You're right.
A lot of life. But when you have a teenager, they don't miss out on anything. In fact, I'm trying to go to bed before my teenager sometimes.
Yeah.
And so I think the biggest thing that I noticed and realized now that my teenager has her own phone was we decided as a family we weren't going to use screens in the bedrooms or the bathrooms.
Okay.
And that was very hard because that past couple of years I'd been working for other people. So it was not uncommon for me to be in my bedroom 11 o'clock at night on my laptop, finishing up just one last thing, right? Mm-hmm. Because I was very committed to the people I was working for and I wanted to do a good job. But I realized, okay, this is a problem for a lot of reasons. And as I did more research, I realized that that was a boundary that I needed to set for not just for my kids, but for myself and my husband too. So my husband does plug his cell phone in right before bed because he uses it as an alarm clock. But we decided together it wouldn't get used in the bedroom.
Okay.
And I've seen so many benefits from this. So I have my phone set to shut down at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And you can just use the screen time feature or whatever you have. And obviously you can ignore the request.
Yeah.
And there have been some times when I've definitely done that. But it's still kind of this bookend to my day when I realize at 9 o'clock, it's time to wind down. Now that I have a teenager, I need to be available because that's when your teenagers start to talk and open up, is about that time of day. And so if I think
at 9 p.m.?
Yeah, 9 or 10.
This is my bedtime. Okay, good to know.
It's hard. It's hard. But then we're doing some team playing.
Okay.
So I've definitely told my husband that where I'm like, I just can't some days.
Yeah.
And so he's the one available and that's been really helpful. But I just realized if I'm in my office at 9 o'clock at night, because I got all the younger kids off to bed, and I'm not available for these conversations. Mm. And so that helps. It's also helped because, you know, I feel like now our bedrooms are reserved for relationships and for replenishing. And so then we have those conversations with our spouse, or, you know, I have kids that share bedrooms. I think, oh man, what if I let them take screens in the bedrooms? I think some of their best conversations happen at night when they're lying in bed together. I mean, they have bunk beds, but they're chatting and doing their thing. And I love that. And so I think that's just been, it keeps everybody honest. Everybody has some boundaries there.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. With your little ones, because I'm still in the little one stage. I've been like studying this like crazy, and nobody ever says a time limit. And I'm sure it's because they don't want, they really don't have the research yet on what is an appropriate time. Do you have like a recommendation of how much time to allow your kids to be watching screens?
So yeah, that's the $1 million question.
I know.
But I find, this is what I always recommend, mm-hmm. is for parents to experiment.
Okay.
So just experiment. And I want you to watch for when your kids start to, when, at what point do they not want to let it go? And do they start to become cranky?
Yeah.
And I think, and that's your answer.
Okay.
So I was just thinking back to my childhood, and I was like, I would watch a show for like 30 minutes, right? So back in the day, we would watch a show, and it was 30 minutes. So probably like 5 minutes of commercials in there and like a 25 minute episode. And it was done. And you could turn off the TV because there was nothing else on. And you moved on with life. And so today in our world, there are no boundaries. We have to place our own boundaries. And so I found that 30 minutes during the week is a great amount of time.
Okay.
And I know that seems like nothing, but my kids will think it through ahead of time where they're like, okay, I'm only, you know, that's all I have. Now, if you have really young kids and you are like, you know, you're picking something that's like slow moving, I think like an hour is totally appropriate, an hour and a half. You know, you've got to make dinner, you've got a work call or whatever, and you're being really intentional about what you're choosing.
Yeah.
But, and it just depends on the kid. Like some kids are harder than others, right? Mm-hmm. So out of five kids, like, my youngest is super easy. And so if people ask me, well, how much screen time does your young one have? It's maybe an hour the whole week.
Oh, wow.
Which I know is like hardly anything, but there have been other seasons of my life when it was totally crazy. And I had five kids under the age of, you know, eight or whatever. And they totally watched for like an hour, maybe even 2 hours some days when I really had to take, I was pregnant and I had to take a nap or whatever.
Yeah. You know? Mom stuff comes up. We get it. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
I love that.
So I think it can change depending on the season you're in.
Yeah.
And what's
definitely
going on. But just being mindful and deciding ahead of time. So that, and setting a timer for you.
Yes.
Okay. Not just for you. That's just for the kids. It's for you too.
The timer has been huge for us. When they hear that ding, it's like it just distracts them, and they get it and they know. And that I'm shocked how much the timer has really worked well.
Yeah. I really like just a real timer, like whether it's your microwave or it's Alexa or whatever it is, but just some kind of a timer. And then warnings always help too, right?
Yes.
Just like with anything with little kids, but like, hey, just so you know, I've got 5 minutes left.
Yes.
So they're not like, you know, they're not freaking out.
Yeah. Okay. I love this. All right. So let's give them a solution right now. What are some like independent screen-free ways that they can do this and still get time to work if they are doing double duty? And here's the thing too. I really think that I know some of my listeners are working at home during the day with their kids. I caution you to not be thinking, oh, this is for me to work in the evening and let the kids do something. If your only time to spend with your children is in the evening, I wouldn't recommend working. I mean, for me, I close my computer around 3:30 every day, and then it's time to be with the kids. So I just want to make sure we're being clear on what we're talking about here. Some moms have to do all of this, or like you said, get dinner ready or something like that. So what are some go-to screen-free ideas that you've done?
I'm so glad that you clarified that.
Okay.
I think that's my number one tip, is to always invest in the relationship on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me as a stay-at-home mom, that was always, I tried to make that first thing in the morning, because then you know, I could, my schedule allowed it, but I felt like I'm investing in my top priority first thing. Mm. And that might be like 10 minutes of reading a book. That's not, you know, but then I'm like, I'm investing. And then I'm like, okay, now what are we going to move on to? And maybe for someone else that is going to be at starting at 3:30 or whatever time works for you, but just set aside some time during the day when you're going to invest in the relationship first. And, yeah, as far as activities, so I think it's like anything in your business where if you want something to go well, you have to prepare for it, right?
Yeah.
And so if we want to independently, there's some preparation involved. So this might even take one of your work days, but picking a day when you're just going to seriously like prepare activities or whatever it is so that you've got it ready. So I think preparation is key, and just having that mindset that you don't want your kid to be on screens all of the time. So one of my favorite tricks is to rotate toys, and that sounds so simple, but keeping a bunch of your toys just completely hidden away and then rotating through them. Then when it's time, so say I spent 10 or 20 minutes reading books to my daughter in the morning, and then I'm like, okay, I need to go make a phone call. I've got some work to do. Then you're asking your child, what, let's go pick something out. And it's kind of fun because it's like going to the store, right?
Yeah.
Let's go pick something out. And then they've got something fresh and new to play with. So that's always a good way to go. And then I think keeping things on hand that you're obviously that your child loves, but things that kind of invite imaginative play. So, you know, whether that's a play kitchen or that's Legos or a marble run, I'm just thinking some of my kids' favorite things, magnet tiles. They love the Playmobil sets with like the little people, might be My Little Ponies, but all of these kinds of things that kids can use to use their imagination. And if you're in a screen time rut, I just want to say that your kids, well, it will be hard at first for a couple of weeks to try to break that habit, but they will get over it because I've done it. You know, I've been in that bad cycle a couple of times, but you can break out of it and they will learn how to use their imagination again, and it will not take long. And then that becomes the new norm.
Yeah.
I love that. I've watched that.
I want to say a story real quick. So I had read in one of these books too, how these kids just don't know how to be bored. Like that is no longer a thing. They would never say I'm bored because they always have something in their hands, they're always looking at a screen. And recently I had Tanner come up to me and say, Mom, I'm so bored. And I was so excited that I am I'm fostering this how do I say this environment, when I can tell you a few months ago that was not our situation. A few months ago, every morning Tegan would wake up and the first thing she would say is, I want my iPad. Like literally wasn't like, good morning, Mom. It was, I want my iPad. Like first sentence. And I would give it to her and I would be in my office. I'd let her sit on my couch. You can see it behind me. And she'd sit and she'd be on her screen and I'd be on my computer. And when I realized I'm not loving that, this is like, we're missing these key moments, right? I mean, I can work during the day, but I'm missing out in the morning and I'm missing out in the evening. And when am I even spending time with them, right? So I realized something had to change. And I said this on a podcast. I felt like, you know, in my, what I want to say is that, you know, my priorities are like my husband and my kids and then my business. I said, but honestly, you guys, if you looked at what was going on here, you would say it's business, kids, and then your husband, right? It's like completely reversed. And I realized like, this is where I've got to put as much energy into my business or as into my kids as I am into my business. So anyway, I wanted to let you know that I was the person who was doing this and letting them constantly do it, and they were obsessed. And it took a few weeks, like you said, there was some, but Mom, you know, where is this? Or can I have this? And all of a sudden I was like, wow, they haven't even asked about it anymore. Like we literally removed it. And then we really make sure things are out in the open for, they don't see the iPads, out of sight, out of mind. They see the Legos, they see the Marvel beads, they see these things and they just go to what's there. So that's been helpful for sure.
That is awesome. Good job.
Thank you. I mean, and it's people like you, that's how I started following you, because I was going, I need better systems. I don't know how to do this. And I think for us, it was kind of better to go cold turkey than to be 30 minutes a day, because my kids were addicted. I mean, they absolutely were addicted. And that's where I was like, oh, I don't want you being addicted to anything at this age. Like, this is just not good.
Yeah. And I applaud you. That's awesome. And I think to be realistic, I think most of us have been there. I mean, most business owners, if you work from home and you're a mom, you know, it's just so easy. It's easy to do, but it's also easy to get out of. I mean, it takes like a mindset shift where you're just realizing, okay, this isn't good. Exactly what you did. We're going to change this. It might be hard for a week or two, but they will, there, you will establish a new norm and you'll be so grateful.
Well, and I like it being more of a reward than it being a normal everyday thing. And let me tell you, it saved me a couple weeks ago. Right now we're on this interview, my kids are at daycare. I would not have my kids home. It just wouldn't work for me. But a couple days ago, I decided, you know what, I'm going to keep them home today. And I completely missed that I had this one random appointment with somebody. And we jump on and I'm like, oh my God, my children are here. Like, I can't even believe this. So I said to her, just give me a minute. I want to do something. I gave them the iPad and I was like, listen, you're getting 30 minutes of this iPad. And when I come back in this room, it is getting yanked. They were the most perfect little angels ever. And it was like, this is what I want it to be for. I want it to be a treat for them. And for me to actually, like, that was something where I'm like, what do? I can't believe I just messed this up. So I used it in a way that worked for both of us. And that's what I think it needs to be more for me and my family. Maybe not for you or anybody listening. You just got to find what I think works for you.
Yeah, exactly. And the occasional treat, then that's okay. It's when it's in a habitual thing, then it becomes part of that habit loop.
Yes.
And I love too that you brought up just the environment. So that's something I teach in my course. We launched an online course called Creating a Tech Healthy Family. And I talk a lot about setting up your environment. And so, you know, that's definitely something else that I would add here as a tip would be to look around in your main living space and, you know, what role do screens play and how can you prioritize other things? One of those things is library books. So I try to make a trip to the library at least once a week and I'll come home with just tons of books. So since I have a lot of kids, I have never given my kids a limit to the number of books they could get at the library. I just always let them take as many as we could fit. And like, I have like a milk crate. It's like this bright yellow milk crate.
Oh, I love
it. And I let them take as many as they wanted. So I will take that. Now I just have one still at home with me. She and I will go to the library. We'll fill that up. I'll try to get books for my school age kids.
Yeah.
And that, my friend calls it a library coma. But when my kids get home and they see there's like fresh books, it's quiet for like an hour.
Okay. I'm stealing this idea. It's so
incredible
good.
Because it's like mom went to the store. I went to the library store. And I'm seriously like even getting comics and graphic novels. You know, I'm not just getting like some fun stuff too and not just chapter books. So that's really one of my favorite things. Like library day is a favorite day around here. Mm. It's Thursday for us.
I love it.
Yeah. I also love to just gather surprises. So, you know, I'll get on Amazon and we have a really fun bookstore and a toy store here. And I like to support my local businesses.
Yeah.
So I will go in there and they just carry the just most fun, like craft kits and different things for kids. You know, right now for my just turned 5-year-old, she's really gotten into the Lego kits, but they're the easier ones. So it's like Creator for 4 to 7. And she can do quite a bit of those ones on her own. So I will go and buy some things and I'll just do like this mom stash in the closet.
Yeah.
And that's like my emergency.
Okay. I need that. That's a really good idea.
Yeah. And then I think it's kind of fun too. It's not expected. It's just like this occasional thing. And I'm like, oh, I'm having a bad day or I have an appointment that I forgot about or whatever it is. I have a surprise for you. And so we go pull that out. And I mean, I probably do that maybe a couple of times a month. Okay. Not like a lot, but that's something I've done. I like to offer lots of choices for activities.
Okay.
So that's fun. If I'm like saying, I'll say, do you want to do Play-Doh or do you want to, you know, make a bracelet or whatever it is. Kids love choices, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I think that always helps. I do love some subscription boxes, so like the Kiwi Crate. I do some of those for my older kids. And so they send you like a new craft kit once a month.
Oh, okay.
I've been really impressed with their kits so far.
That's a cool, like fun surprise for them, I think, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like once a month it shows up and it's something that usually they might work on it for a couple of days.
Okay.
That's super fun. And this is a really like working mom kind of thing, but we print out coloring pages a lot.
Okay.
So if you are like on your computer and working, then it's another thing where you get to get choice. So put them on your lap and like, hey, what coloring page do you want?
Okay.
So it might, whatever your kids are into, and we'll print out. And I realize this may not work for everyone. My daughter right now, like I told you, she is easy and she loves to color. So that will keep her happy for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
My son, that would have never worked. But do you know what he did love? He loved puzzles. Mm. So we have like a huge collection of puzzles.
Okay.
And that always kept him busy. So I think just knowing your kids and knowing what do they love. And we try to kind of make a little craft and make a whole shelf full of crafts so they can just pull stuff out and make things when they want to. I always keep some gardening tools outside so my kids can go dig whenever they want. So those are...
Oh, I love this. Now, you have a gift guide that you... it's like, can you explain that and share with that what that is?
Yeah, so that was... We actually created that around Christmas time, but it's great for all year. So
You've
got kids home for the summer, we have a screen-free gift guide, and it's just all our favorite things that our kids have played with over the years. Since we did that cross-country move and we moved to a more expensive place, we had to downsize dramatically. And so we got rid of a lot of stuff. So anything that is on there, they're the things that we kept.
Okay.
And that's after 14 years of being a parent.
Yeah.
So okay, I that. Highly recommend anything.
Do you have a link for that, or do you want just to put in the show notes?
Yeah, we could put it in the show notes.
Okay, I'll do that.
One other thing that I have always used with my kids from, you know, my oldest down to my youngest is books on CD. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds outdated, but once they're like 3 or 4, they can totally put a CD in by themselves and just show them how to run it. And on Amazon, Disney has their books on CD are like $5. So I think we have probably every Disney book, but my daughter will sit and listen to those. And like, if you don't, you know, you can't afford any or don't want to buy any, often the library has some.
Yeah.
And you get books on CD from the library.
That's something I would never have thought to do. And then at a teen's preschool, they send home a book and sometimes it has a CD and she is obsessed with them. Another thing that I found, who is this for? I cannot think of what it's called. I'm so sorry. But there's a podcast where the author just reads children's books. So you could actually play it on your phone. I know it's a screen, but there's nothing to see. So they're really just listening to the sound, but you could hook it up to a Bluetooth speaker or something too.
Totally.
Yeah. And that's kind of cool. They loved doing that.
Yes. And we have, when we're doing car, we'll turn on kids' podcasts. Mm-hmm. Circle Round. Have you heard of that podcast?
No. See, you're just like my go-to. You got all this good stuff.
Called Circle Round, and they tell a story. And I think I have not done this yet, but I'm going to do it for our road trip. They even, I think, have a coloring page that goes with each episode.
That's
so
cool.
So before we go on a road trip this summer, I'm going to print those out to go along with it.
Cool. This is amazing. Yeah.
Books on CD, that is a really good one. And I try to make it kind of special, like I'll pull out the the beanbag chair, like get out the special chair and even maybe get them a little snack and, okay, what do you want to listen to? And kind of make it like, and sometime when my daughter was sick, I actually made a fort for her and it took me like 5 minutes. You know, sometimes we think, this is like going to take me so much time. But I just got out sheets, we made a fort across the couches. And then I put in the beanbag chair and got the books on CD because I didn't want to, even when she was sick, I didn't want to just turn on screens the whole day because it's, I don't know, it's just draining. And so she had a ton of fun doing that.
Yeah, I love this. No, and I think this is so important for us too, as people who are moms, but also business owners. I think we have to really look at how balanced is this. Now I know work-life balance, like it's never going to be this perfect thing that you have made up in your mind, but I do think there's so many areas that we could be going, are we being as amazing as we want to be? Like, do we know we could be doing better in certain areas? So I do think this is something that we need to be really conscious of, because we are women who are trying to do it all. And that's just impossible to do everything and be amazing at everything. So we've got to be really looking at how can we learn from somebody who can give us a few tips to implement this and really make sure that we're living the life we want to live and that we're not, you know, seeing our kids go off to college and then go, wow, I just missed all of this. You know, I wish I was more present. I wish I was more, I don't want to be that mom. I really, really don't. And it's hard because I'm so good at business. Like it, yes. I'm much better.
And it fuels you.
Yeah.
Like, you love it, right?
Right. And it's like, excuse me. It's like one of those things where I think I thought I was going to naturally just be an amazing mom because I'm a woman. That's what we should do. And for me, it was a little harder. And when I started to realize that how, what drives me and what motivates me, and I love challenges and I love learning, I started to look at parenting like that. This could be that same thing where I'm driven to be a better mom. And that has helped me. So I think knowing your personality and what's going to motivate you, that is what gets me excited to read parenting books and to be really focused on that as well. So
yeah, I love that you said that because I mean, I think becoming a mother is harder. Becoming a parent is harder than you ever think it's going to be, right? And you think, definitely. Oh, this is all going to be natural. And then you add in technology to the mix and yeah, it feels a little complicated, but definitely. You know, this last year I read Brené Brown's latest book, Dare to Lead. Mm-hmm. And I gathered so much strength in that. So when I read that book, I definitely was reading it from the eyes of a parent.
Yeah.
And she said, daring leaders are never silent about hard things. And I felt like that's the place I was in with the screens and technology and trying to teach my teenager how to use technology as a tool and to gradually give her a little bit more freedom. And I thought, okay, this is what I am. I'm a daring leader and I'm leaning into something hard. Mm-hmm. And that just totally changed my mindset. So it's kind of like you're saying, like, if you just think, okay, play to your strengths, even as a mom, you know, that you're going to be so much happier as a parent.
Definitely, definitely. Andrea, this has been so amazing. Thank you so much for sitting down with me. I want to know, where can people find out more about you? Where are you hanging out online? And then I would love for you to share, I know you've launched a course recently. I would love for you to share like where they can find that too.
Yes. So our website is betterscreentime.com. We also are on Instagram. I do Instagram stories occasionally, and we're on Facebook. We recently started a Facebook group for parents.
So cool.
They've got questions about screens. It can kind of bounce that off of each other. It's just getting going. And then, yes, we recently launched our first course. It's called Creating a Tech Healthy Family. We currently have 27 parents in there that I'm working with concentrated at the time.
I love it.
And we are adding more content to it this summer. It will include, I'm currently working on a discussion guide that I'm hoping to publish on Amazon by the end of the summer.
Very cool.
And it includes the 10 discussions that we had with our kids about all kinds of technology-related topics. And that will be included in the course along with some guidance as to how to have those conversations. Mm-hmm. So we'll be launching that again in August and planning to have the discussion guide ready by then too.
Cool. Well, I love what you're doing. Thank you for being somebody that I can follow. And I love following you and enjoy your content so much. And I know you're coming from such an amazing place. And it just keeps making me come back for more because I just know that you're going to be that person that a lot of us need to hear from. So thank you for all you're doing.
Thank you so much, Stacey. I really appreciate that. I love what you're doing too. Thank you. So glad we found each other.
Yes, me too. Thank you so much. And that's it for another episode of Foot Traffic. But don't worry, if you're craving more business building guidance, I've got two places to send you. First, be sure to join our free Facebook group at foottraffic.club. You'll get support from other small business owners like you, plus exclusive content from me. And if you're looking for more actionable advice and step-by-step resources for getting more people in the door, head over to foottrafficpodcast.com. It's time we take your business to the next level.